This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Welcome everyone here, Tzvi Broker with Rav Yehoshua Gerzi for a very special Pilsno work-inspired Purim special. And before we start, it's just to express our appreciation, first of all, for our very special host at the Beis Simcha Markowitz, hosting us here for this very special shiur, a very special occasion, and all the brachas of Purim, and all of the abundance and simcha should fill this home.
Amen. Amen. Reb Simcha, we love you.
Amazing. Okay, we also would like to start off by thanking and giving appreciation to our sponsors. We have two very special sponsors to today's Purim shiur. First, for a schus for Mishpachas Kraus, that the shiur and transformation should be the Ilanishmas Rav Aaron Simcha.
Amen.
Ben Rav Michal David Shlita.
Amen.
And also that this shiur is being dedicated to, you'll have to guess who it is, the very best Rav and Rebbetzin in town. You guys are great. Speaking, of course, about Rav Gerzi Rebbetzin Gerzi.
Ooh, wow,
from,
that's nice.
Our chaver, Shai Sussman.
Oh,
and
wow.
You guys are great. Keep on rocking and bringing the light down.
Amen. Can we thank the cameraman?
We are also going to thank our wonderful cameraman, the Ezras Hashem, should be able to experience all of the light and the schus of sharing this Torah with our greater audience today. It's very, very exciting for us. Very special to be able to get a bit of a taste of what's been going on here in Beis Medrash Pilsno over the past year within our Chavura and Be'ezras Hashem, a taste for those that are going to be joining us as we launch our global Chavura after Pesach. Okay, Purim, it's a big topic. How could one speak about Purim? I brought my hat over here, my special Purim hat, but I didn't put it on.
Put it on?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Can I just ask a technical question? Figure out which camera to look at.
There we go. Okay, we're all set. Purim is full of so much or. And we know that Purim brings so much brachas. Each one of us, as we've been through Purim in our lives, in different themes, in different ways to be able to connect to Purim in an experiential way. But here at Work Inspired, where really our mission and our goal is that every single time a person is involved in the process, right, of earning money, being involved in parnasa, out there in your job, to recognize that it's available for you and a tremendous opportunity to connect with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So here as we speak about Purim, and Purim is on the footsteps, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow night, where we're all going to be celebrating Purim, where we're dedicating today to be able to speak about the connection between this wonderful day of Purim and Parnassa. And Purim and Parnassa itself is a huge topic. When we were discussing this before the shiur, and thinking, what can we give over as a preparation, right, to the Chevra, where there's so many themes and the connections between finance, between money, between Parnassa and Purim. But what we chose to go with today is to speak about how to be able to align ourselves for really the bracha of Shefa and abundance, right? Shefa and abundance that Purim really offers to us. And before we can speak about how the connection between Purim and how to be able to draw this light into our lives, first we want to start off with taking a little bit of a look. It's a huge topic within itself to understand this topic of Shefa, right? To understand this topic of abundance. And I know, Rabbi Gerzi, this is a Mar Makom, which is...
You say this
that is on your lips, and you shared so many times this Targum Yonasan in Parshas Re'eh, right? In Parshas Re'eh, Re'eh Anoichi Noisein Lefnechem Hayoyin Bracha L'Klala. My Moshe Rabbeinu, right, is giving over to Am Yisrael, right, towards the end of his life, right, this powerful pasuk, right, I'm putting before you Bracha and Klala. Now, what is Bracha and Klala? So the Targum Yonasan, right, which Rav Gerzi spoken so many times about, right, Re'ei Anoichi, Omer Moshe, what is it that Moshe was saying? Right, the Ana Mesader Kadamechen Yoim Adain, I'm putting before you on this day, Berchasab, right, Bracha V'chidufa. Now, what is Chidufa? Right, Chidufa, right, is connection, right, what's that word connected to? Right, it's the type of a alternative.
Alternative.
Right, what's reframing. The word
that Rabbi reframing. Reframing.
What do you mean by reframing? Why is klala, right, which we would look as classically a translation as curse or something which is bad or the, you know, the ichi stuff, why is it being translated as reframe?
Do we have the Mar Makom of the Medrash?
No,
the other
we don't have.
So as a Medrash Rabbah, is a very important nakuda, and this is Mamash Ayusayid, and I'll tell you that Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Shapira, who's a Talmud of the Piasetzner, used to quote this very, very often. And he says, one of the biggest issues we face in our generation is we forget that abundance is godliness and scarcity is non-godliness. Rabbi Singer would say something similar as well. And what we have to understand, and it's scary, we're going to read the Likutei Maharan, there's a bissel of a pachad here, because really, really, we call this cosmic responsibility. What's the Nakuda? The Nakuda is Hashem Yisbarach only sends down Shefa. The Medrash Rabbah that we'll put up at some point, but the Medrash Rabbah writes that only goodness comes from Shemaim. No evil, no Ra comes from up high, down to us. No Ra. Only goodness. And the Nakuda is what this Targum is saying, and it's so important, is that we reframe the bracha that comes down. Only bracha is coming down. We reframe it.
I see. Meaning it's bracha that's coming. The Targum Yonasan is highlighting the fact by choosing this word chilufa in terms of being reframing that if one's experiencing that which the Torah says the klala, that's only because of a reframe that we have.
We reframed, and more than that. For example, the Heilige Zeda, our forebearer, not yours, mine.
We're going to quote him.
I want to say the other one, the other Zeda, is the Ropshitzer. The Ropshitzer writes, if we take the letters of Simcha, B'Simcha, we get B'Machshava.
It's a bit Adar Torah.
We get, what's that telling us? That Simcha comes from our way of thinking.
Right, really,
that we take in information, Hashem Yisbarach created the world, it's Shefa, 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 Shefa. We, through our thinking, reframe that Shefa.
Wow.
Very powerful. So it means we have to be responsible, cosmic responsibility.
Amazing. Let's dive into this Likutei Maharan, because I know that we were looking...
Ay, Rabbeinu.
I'm Purim, we all sing about Uman. I think I'm Purim, we all sing about Uman. Adar is in the air. Okay, so the Likutei Maharan is Torah on Kuf Ayin Beis. By Kola Chasroni Sheyesh La'adam, speaking about this topic, where does lacking come from in our lives? So Rabbeinu says, with the Kutei Maharan, Kol HaChesrona Sheyesh La'adam, you have in front of you in the Marva Kaimes, right, Kol HaChesrona Sheyesh La'adam, Hein Banim Oy Parnasa Oy Brius, whether that lacking, right, is coming in the area of life of children, or when it comes to Parnasa, right, when it comes to money, when it comes to Brius, when it comes to health, HaKol HuMitzan HaAdam Atzmi, that lacking is coming because of the person themselves, from within themselves. Let's see how he explains it. Right, and this is really going to echo what Rebbe we just shared a second ago. Right, ki or Hashem yisparch shefea alav tamid. Because when it comes to the or of Hashem, the light of Hashem, that's something which is flowing consistently. Ach ha'adam,
flowing consistently down upon us.
Upon us, right? Ayyadei Adam, right? Ayyadei Adam, not just flowing from above, but flowing down to us. So where do things go wrong? Ach ha'adam, ayadei ma'isav ha'rayim, ha'oyset se'o la'atzmai. That a person, chas v'shalom, if a person through their actions, their non-favorable actions, what he does is he creates a shadow upon oneself. She'ein ma'giyah alav or Hashem yisbarach. That because of the shadow that one creates, that shadow is that which blocks this Or Hashem, right, this Shefa, this abundance, from flowing down upon him. Ulefi Masav, Ken Naasa Hatzel, Hamonea Or Hashem Yisbarach, and because of these Maisim, these actions that a person does, so that creates that cell, that shadow, which blocks. And this is what Rav Nachman's saying. Rav Nachman's saying, someone's trying to call in.
Purim, yay, the phone ringing in the middle of recording.
Just make sure to send them a link. So what's taking place over here is that through this meisim that a person does, that creates this blockage, hamonea or Hashem yisbarach, that can block this or the shef of Hashem umagia
lo
hachisarim, and that is where the chisarim comes from. Lefia meisesh ayodena satzel, because of the action that a person does, through that creates the shadow. And then Rabbi Nachman goes on to explain, right, beautifully, right, the concept here. V'hine hatzelhu medavar gashmiya oimi negen davar ruchani hainu shudak mimenu. Now when you think about the concept, right, of a tzel, of a shadow, when you're speaking about when you have light and you have something which is blocking the light, he goes on through a few different examples of showing, speaking about the sun, speaking about the light of the moon. in which when you have, there's an or, and then when there's something in the way, that creates the cell.
Yeah.
And therefore, he goes on at the end of this piece, and this is really something that I wanted to be medayik and discuss here, right, in order to understand what Reb Nachman's saying. A couple of lines down, he says, that he says over here, he makes a shadow which is connected him, that a person according to his level of gashmius, of physicality, and according to his actions, that is what creates this shadow that blocks this shefa, this abundance that Hashem is sending down. But if a person, if we are mevatel ourselves, ve'eno klal mizeh oilam, and when he looks at oneself, a person, as if, we're going to explain this, as if he doesn't exist, azai eno ois etzel, so then there isn't a shadow that's created, and when there isn't a shadow that's created, umekabel o Hashem yisparach, then he's receiving that light. He's not generating the light. The light's always there. But when a person's able to get rid of that cell, so then he's able to receive the light. But the question I want to discuss over here...
One second.
To digest it. Okay, we'll take a moment.
Just be with this Torah. When I learned this Torah with Rabbi Weingott, who was a Talmud of Rav Avram Sternhatz, so we'd sit, and we usually we do this at the beginning of Ashirim. I don't know why we didn't do it today. But just to stop, and just to Baruch Hashem, we're here. What a Torah! This is a dramatic Torah. Where Rabbi Nachman, kolach Yisrael neshiyesh la'adam, and it goes through hakol hu mitzad ha'adam. I mean, a dramatic Torah. Only shefa is coming down. We live in a world of shefa. We live in a world of abundance. And we, through our activities, and really us through our thinking.
But that's what I wanted to point out, because he makes this deal over here. In the beginning of the Torah, he speaks about Maisim Rayim, but at the end of the Torah, he says, Alkena Adam Kifi Gashmi Uso Ukifi Masab.
Correct.
It seems that there is a distinction, and that's what I wanted to really ask, because we want to understand this realm of Shefa and abundance, right, and the mechanism. So we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu sending down Shefa, and then we create the cell. But what creates itself? So Averis, it seems, creates itself, but it seems there's something else.
What's an Avera? So it's interesting. I wrote to Kuntrus a number of years ago. I wrote a booklet a number of years ago, and it basically goes through every language of what we label sin. Avera, sin, chet. And it comes to show how the word sin... excuse me. The word sin, the way we understand sin today, is not of the original origin of what the word means. So for example, sin in the ancient Latin, sin means to miss the mark. Chet means to miss the mark. You look at Reb Shimon Shlomo Hirsch, you look at the Gra and others. Avera means to pass over.
Okay.
You move over. So what we're saying on one side of the coin, and we'll have to go into this because as well what Rabbi Nachman is saying here leads in to what becomes, especially at the end when he speaks about the Inyan of Bittul, it's leading into this understanding, this mindset that you have something called an ego, which maybe we'll use that term when we speak about Amalek. There's an ego self, and what we'll feed into this Torah is that there's a part of us that we rechannel. There's a blockage, and we rechannel the shefa. We're rechanneling, but everything comes from our thinking.
I see.
Everything comes from our thinking. So what happens? We were thinking certain thoughts that led us to behave a certain way. That behavior creates blockage, but before that behavior that created a blockage, we had a thought that reframed the shefa coming down.
Okay.
You understand that?
Meaning stuck. Meaning the Avera that we're speaking about over here is a result. Something before that, and that itself has the ability to be able to create that blockage, Shefa, even without that
Avera.
Well,
not the blockage, reframing. So Shefa's always coming down. There's Bracha and Shefa that's always coming down upon us. We think a certain thought. That way of thinking now reframes the bracha, okay, that's coming down, and it pushes us, la'avor, it pushes us that we end up doing something in action, and doing that something in action then creates a blockage.
Okay, I see. Okay, but could the mindset itself, and this, I mean, and if we need to get to this as we go through the, start speaking more about Purim, we can address it, but is it that the mindset itself has the ability to block Shefa even if there wasn't an Avera?
Or
is it only when the Avera takes place?
So I would say the important nakud is reframing.
Is the reframing.
The
okay.
reframing is the source. So it's the same idea as Chazal tell us. The Yetzirah gets a person to sin. But the real work of the Yetzirah, the real work is the shame, the guilt.
It's what's underneath that's basically
That's the real work of the Yetzirah.
Okay. So I think what we can say is that Rabbi Nachman is addressing that there's this reality of the Shefa that's constantly being sent down to a person, and that it's up to us ultimately how we're going to be able to receive that based off of a mindset, a reframe, and our actions.
And, and that's why we very much speak about Taras HaMachshava. That's why Taras HaMachshava is that we think in a certain way. Why? Because our thinking leads to how we are channeling this or this chiyus that's constantly
that's actually
coming
there, our ability to be able to tap
exactly.
into it. Beautiful. Okay.
Like very powerful, Rabbi Nachman.
This topic within itself and understanding Shefa is a shiur within itself.
We didn't even bring the Sefer Yetzirah.
I know, there's a lot. But Bezos Hashem, there's one for people to join as they join the Global Chabura. But for now, let's move on.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about
I'll
Purim.
I'll be good.
We have to talk about Purim. Remember wearing the hat. It's a reminder we have to get to Purim. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Purim. So we all know that Purim is the day of tremendous Shefa, right? The Talmid Baal Shem Tov, right? Each one in their own way speaks, right, about this line, right, of Kol HaPoshet Yad Noistin Loi, that we know it's brought down the halacha. We brought over here Mar Makomos, one of my favorites.
Yezeida.
Talmid Baal Shem Tov.
Saba.
The Chedush Harim says, Purim Hu Zman Ratzon, Hu Zman Ratzon Lakoyim. That Purim is a Zman Ratzon, a time where Kadosh Baruch Hu gives, right, a favorable time. V'chol echad, and each person, yachol lif'ol, eitzel Hashem yitzbarach, shiemali mishalos libor the taiva, that each person is able, right, to activate, right, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will fill one's cup, right, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will respond in a favorable way, right, to each person's heart's desires. V'halacha mifureshes b'shulchan aruch, and here, so Chedush Harim explaining the halacha and then applying it in the way that the Talmid of the Baal Shem Tov explained, right, that we find when it comes to halacha, we'll see it inside it a little bit later, in medachtekin b'mayis Purim, that when it comes to giving tzedakah, we have general guidelines in terms of how we give tzedakah, right, and how we decide who to give tzedakah to. When it comes to Purim, we're not as careful. A person sticks out their hand. We're going to speak about this lesson over here, sticking out one's hand. Right, that when a person sticks out in their hand, the person gives it. So too, with the Chedush Harim is saying over here, that so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows Halacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this light of Purim is that we have the ability to be able to receive a tremendous amount of Shefa and abundance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, when we were speaking about this before, you know, this idea, the Baal Shem Tov explains it, right? I don't understand, in obviously all of the world of Hasidus is drawing its light from the world of Kabbalah, right? In terms of Kabbalah speaking about this idea of this Yom Gadol of Purim, and Purim being this tremendous day, we know Purim, Yom Kippurim, the ability to be able to channel down Shefa.
So the Arizal in Shar Kavana speaks about this inyan of Yisayda Abba. The day itself is Yisayda Abba, which is a day of big moichin. And the halacha is reflecting very much this experience of tremendous shefa that's coming down on the day of Purim. Yisayda Abba is big moichin. Now we have to reflect that. We've got the opportunity, unbelievable shefa's coming down, because the day itself is Yisayda Abba. How do we navigate through that spiritual topography? How do we navigate? So we want to, down here, reflect this inyan of Yisayda Abba, which is bigness, grandeur of the shefa that's coming down. And the halacha matches that. The halacha is coming to tell us, yes, like Yazid is saying, the Chiddush HaRim saying, on this day, tremendous things could be piled.
Because of this root
this
of
Yisrael. This energy that's coming down, this meichin, this energy that's enveloping us on this day.
That's no other day of the year?
Not that, but specifically Purim.
On Purim, there's this Purim. And there's this revelation of this, or that we have the ability to be able to tap into.
Yes.
And really what you're saying, and this is ultimately from perspective of Pnimius, right, and looking within the spiritual realm, halacha is manifesting for us
always.
And guiding us
always.
What are the steps that we need to be taking so that therefore we're able to align ourselves to receive that energy which is coming from
us. So we said in our halacha share, we go through the halacha in Nigla, and then we look at the Pnimius of the halacha. So in the Pnimius of the halacha, it's very interesting. Do we bring it here?
Which nekuda?
The halacha, the Shulchan Aruch.
We bring the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to speak about it in a little bit.
Where is it?
Over here at the bottom. You have it over here. In Medaktikim.
In Medaktikim. This Loshan, Medaktek. What's this Inyan of Medaktek? So this Inyan of Medaktek, what's Dikduk? What's Ledaktek? It's, again, flow. Flow. I'm being specific. I'm looking. I'm not specific. The minute I'm specific, I'll be Pnimius. I'm now reframing.
I see.
I'm now stopping and thinking and reframing.
So that itself is an
means,
internal process.
So to speak, is an internal process. That's reflecting what Rabbi Nachman says at the end, that I want to attain this level of bittul. So consciously, experientially, I don't want to be medakdek. I just want to let the Yisoid Sha'aba Shefa, I just want to let this Shefa flow. So the pnimiut of the halacha is reflecting the actual day itself. So, Badafka, I'm not going to reframe.
In that way.
I'm not going to. Does that, you hear that? That makes sense?
Yeah.
Ain't medaktikim.
Because what would mean for us, what would mean for us if we would be medaktik is we're not aligning ourselves, right? We're not aligning ourselves with this shefa.
Correct.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful dituk. So, let's take another step a bit deeper into Purim. And wherever we're speaking about Purim, we obviously have the mitzvahs of the day. We're going to speak about the different themes in the mitzvahs of the day. But we know, as we just went through a Shabbos Zachar, right, that it seems that a fundamental preparation for moving into the aura of Purim, right, and that which we're really dealing with and counteracting with when we come into Purim, right, is the Koyach of Amalek. And there's this beautiful Mar Makom, right, in the Chabura, we had the opportunity to be able to go into this in depth. So if some of these words I'm going to share with you right now seem a bit shocking, so then hold on and join us. We're going to get through it. But there's a Gemara in Kedushin, Pei Beis Amud Aleph, right? It's a favorite Mar Makom of mine, as somebody who's involved in guiding people towards different professions and careers. This is really the Gemara at the end of Kedushin, talks about the Jewish perspective, right, of what everyone should do, right? Of course, to be a doctor, right, to be a lawyer, we'll see. That's not so clear from the Gemara. But in any event, okay, so Rabbi Yehuda, Pei Beis Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishmoy, I believe he's quoting from Abba Gurion over there in the Gemara. So he speaks about different types of professions, and he says, Hachamarin Ruban Rishayim, right, the person is involved, he's a donkey driver, most of these donkey drivers are Rishayim. Vagamalin, right, and those people that are camel drivers, Ruban Ksherin, most of them are kosher people. Hasapanin, with those people that are sailors, Ruben Chasidin, right? The most of them are Chasidin, they're not just Ksherim, they're people that, right, even go beyond the letter of the law. Toiv Shibaraifim, right? The best of the doctors, the Gehenim, right? They go to Gehenim. Okay, that's one of the scary statements. You may be like, wait, especially if you're a doctor listening, we love you. Just make sure to...
Very good. Don't worry.
Make sure to stick with the Chabur to understand. Okay? The Hechsher Shibetvachim, right, and those which are the best, the qualified, different understandings we're going to see of what this means, right, of those people that sell meat, Shutva Shel Amalek, he's the partner of who? Of Amalek. Okay, so if you're a meat and a butcher guy, you're also probably wondering, okay, what is this talking about? So Baruch Hashem, we're going to talk about this a little bit today, right, they were starting to discuss what's going on over here, but today, Baruch Hashem, we have the opportunity to be able to look a little bit into the world, the eyes of the Ben Ishchai. The way that the Ben Ishchai, do you have this picture over here? We do? Somewhere over here, okay. The Ben Ishchai explains this Torah. He always explains things in such a beautiful, deep, and also humorous way. There's always got a little bit of humor in there. So let's take a look at what he says. So Kasha Shibatvachim Shutu Shalamalik, what does this mean? Nira Li Bisyata Deshmaya Kavana, Yatvachim Evim Misharsim Rikim Apochasim Rayim Vikatoyim Lim Korlahem Abasar. Okay, interesting. So there's a guy who owes a shop, and then the people that work in the shop. And sometimes they bring not just the highest caliber and quality of people to work, Rishayim, empty people, people that don't necessarily value halacha and values to sell the meat. Right, and when it comes to what actually takes place, so besides for the kosher meat, you know, you mix, you match, you get in some chas v'shalom, unfortunately, nevelas and trefas, unkosher meat. Why? Kedei la'arviach. Okay, we see it back then, the kosher meat costs more, is more expensive than unkosher meat, so that therefore you can make more money. V'nimtza elu gormi miut hasheva v'miut ha'parnasim Yisrael. So these people are causing a blockage, right? They're a lessening of the abundance and parnasa for Jews. Right, because through eating food that's not kosher, nevelos v'treifos, that causes miut of parnasa, less parnasa for yidin. The yedua mad she'isa b'kilas Yaakov, and it's known that which the Kilas Yaakov says, the klipas amalek. Right, this is the key line here in understanding what the comparison is in the Gemara. The klipas amalek munas aparnasa liyisrael. That it's the klipa of Amalek that prevents bringing parnasa to Yidin. And therefore, what the Ben Ishchai is explaining over here is that the comparison between the butchers, right, and to say that they're partnering with Amalek is that just like in this unfortunate situation you could have where a person who's a butcher is causing a lessening of parnasa for Yidin because of the non-kosher meat in the veilos and treifos. So he's partnering with Amalek because what is Amalek really about? What is Amalek energy? Is to cut parnasa from Yidin. To cut parnasa from Yidin. Beautiful pshat in understanding, right? He says, Aydekach moinin shefa parnasa nechshav shutfu shal Amalek. Because that's what Klipas Amalek is doing. What's going on over here? We know Amalek, you know, is a big Indian. We know historically where Amalek came from, and then, you know, from Alifaz. I saw one of the beautiful pshatim that says, you see it in the pshat, that Alifaz, right? Alifaz, he went and robbed Yaakov. He was in the source of him, right? That when Esav sent his son Alifaz, that he went and took the money from Yaakov. So you see over there, within the storyline, historically, that Amalek was involved in taking money from Yisrael. But in terms of the spiritual root of Amalek and understanding what's the connection here, Amalek blocking Parnassa, going into what we're talking about over here, abundance, what could we share a bit deeper? In a few minutes or less, of course.
The question is which direction do we go? Which direction do we go? What comes up? So there's several different directions that we can go, but what comes up now is this nakuda of Amalek. Amalek is Gematria Ram. The simple, maybe simple expression of it in this context is that when we are properly aligned and when we're living from a place of abundance, we generate abundance. We can generate, we should generate abundance. And we should be very wealthy. Why should we be wealthy? Because Be'ezras Hashem, you give good people wealth. What do they do with that wealth? A good person who's an emistika person, a truthful person, a healthy person. What does a person want to do with their wealth? So yes, they want to live a good life. But the reality is, you give anybody who's a good, decent, healthy person wealth, they're going to share it. They're going to share it. Because really, as we know, the inyan of nefesh, you know, the same gematria, what was the same gematria when we speak about money and nefesh, that there's, it's the money, it represents our deeper yearnings and wantings. What Amalek does two things. Number one, Amalek blocks us, ram, it turns up the ego self. It gets us involved. Amalek gets our thinking, aha, the taiva of money, what can I do with this money? The klipa is, what can I do? I don't want to share. Amalek turn up the noise that if I share, I then have less. Where we know that if I share, I actually have more. So Amalek, Ben Ish Chai says in another place, that the Nakuda of Amalek, they turn up the noise. If I share, I have less. That's first of all not true. That's not true. But as well, the Nakuda is that Amalek plant in our mind what it says in the New Testament, that money is the root of all evil. What's so funny? That money is the root of all evil. Yidden, the Torah does not believe that money is the root of all evil.
That's something that Amalek is planting?
Yes.
Okay.
Amalek plants. I see that got a furim. I see that.
I think it's because you said it with a straight face.
Oh, okay. So the Nozrim, they came to share with humanity, money is the root of all evil. That's Amalek. That's the Klipa of Amalek. We do not believe the money is the root of all evil. The way we think can be the root of all evil. By the way, in Judaism, there's no such thing as evil. We don't have this. Ra doesn't mean evil. Ra is air. I'm awakened for something else that's not Dveikus Bashem. And what is Ra? One of my teachers, Reb Moshe Schatz, would say that Ra is unintegrated Kedusha.
Okay.
And the point is, they're the two things. Amalek, number one, puts in our mindset that money is the root of all evil.
Okay.
Number two, it puts in our mindset that, no, I need to hold it for myself, which is, again, both coming from ego self. It's both coming from our thinking. But non-Amaleki thinking is, bring it on. Give me more Shefa. Open me. Yes. And bring me more Shefa. And money, Chas V'Shalom, is the root of all. Money is very good. And let me do good things with it. Let me share it out with people. Let me share it out. So again, we go back to this inyun, Ein Medaktikim. We're not Medaktik. Which is a Bechin of Din. It's Bechin of Judgment. I'm going to think about it. No. We have one day a year where we are Metaken, the Klipa, this covering of Amalek.
Amazing. That's so, meaning that what we're doing in terms of Mechias Amalek, right, is that because the ultimate reality is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is sending down this Shefa.
Hashem
wants us to receive the Shefa, and Kadosh Baruch Hu designed the system in a way that we'll be able to share the Shefa, and that it's not going to end. The root of that which blocks it, and that's what understanding over here of this idea of the Klipa of Amalek blocking Shefa is that unhealthy thinking, the unhealthy thinking in relationship with money, and the unhealthy thinking of how we see ourselves within that process of generating money and receiving money, that's something that we want to wipe out. And that's something which we see beautifully is manifested throughout the mitzvahs of the Yom.
100%.
Because we find, you know, obviously, most clearly, as we quoted before, and as Rabbi mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch, right, in Tafresh, Sadik Dalet, we find this halacha, right, Ein Medaktikim B'Mois Purim, right, Elamit Komi Shepoishet Yad Lital Noisten Loi, right, that we have this reality where halacha is guiding us to align ourselves with this, that therefore we should set ourselves up in a way, right, that when people come to our door, we give, because we want to align ourselves in this way of this thinking and an action of giving and giving. Obviously, we have the mitzvah of Atanas of Yoinim, the mitzvah of Mishloach Manas as well, right, a fundamental theme. Obviously, there's the aspect of Reus and the aspect of Achdus. It's a different theme, right, as well. Everything's connected.
It's a different theme, but even with our friends sometimes.
Right, we want to be in that place, Dafka, of saying, yes, I want to be in that role of giving, right? The Mishloach Manos is to be in that role of giving. We find in the Megillah as well, and we brought over here the Gemara Megillah on Dalet, on Dav Dalet, when it's discussing what happens when we have Purim Mishuleshes in terms of when do we have this mitzvah Matanas Lev Yoinim. So we have this teaching from Rabbi Yosef. The Rabbi Yosef explains that the reason why we have the connection between the Mikra Megillah, right, and the Matanas Lev Yoinim is why Bibnei She Einein Shalaniyim Noises B'Mikra Megillah, because it's part of the Kriyas of the Megillah, right, is to activate, right, this mitzvah through listening to the Megillah and through becoming inspired through the story of the Megillah and recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's godless and HaKadosh Baruch Hu playing out in all aspects of the world. That's something that we listen to the Megillah, we become changed people. It empowers us to then go out there and to be involved in this mitzvah of Matanas Devionim, right, which is a way for us to be able to express and to be able to align ourselves with this reality, as Rebbe shared, 100%. Because we want to be able to receive this or that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending down, Yisrael Abba of Purim even more, right, specifically abundance, Purim, that Hashem abundance. Is sending this abundance, and we have these beautiful mitzvahs, once again, Mikra Megillah, Matanas Levyonim, Mishloach Manos, which are giving us those poles, those guidelines, what we need to do to set ourselves up in this amazing way.
Even Adelo Yada.
But that's what I wanted to ask.
Even Adelo Yada. So one of the definitions of Das has three qualities. Das is in observation. Das is in connection. Adam and Chava connection. Observation is from Eliezer. It says, if you look at the Targum, La Das means to observe. But Das is Havdalah. Das is Havdalah, as we know, Gemara Brachas, Havdil Bein Kodesh L'Chol, Inyan of Das, Inyan of this level of consciousness, this level of consciousness when we ask who we are. Who am I? Am I my body? No. Am I my thoughts? No. Am I my emotions? No. Am I my thinking? Am I my physical sensations? No. I know who I am not. I'm not my soul. I have a soul. I'm consciousness. Consciousness in Judaism is called Das. Das has three qualities. I can observe, I can connect, but I can separate. So the Inyan of separation, Havdalah, is being medakdek. So Adala Yada, I'm not medakdek anymore. I take away my ability to think, which is very much to do with ego self. I switch myself on. The Alpi Kabbalah in the Kabbalistic sources, it's incredibly deep, that we have to fix up the body. So we have one day a year where we go, where we really turn off our consciousness to let Hashem in. That Shefa comes in, and Hashem is Baruch, is Metaken the Guf. At the end of the year, all the leftover Nitzosis Kedusha that I did not fix up during the year, I drink until Adala Yada. So I can't be medakdek. I can't hamavdil bein kodesh l'chol adelo yada. And when that switches off, when that ego self switches off, which is related to Amalek, then I could just allow the shefa to come in, and I'm on, so to speak, autopilot. That autopilot with the guf, with the body, is there's a repairing that Hashem Yisbarach is doing. I switch off my consciousness.
It's amazing. I was thinking about this just...
finish that. So Adelo Yada, I didn't finish it. Adelo Yada is, what are we saying with Adelo Yada? If Adelo Yada, one of the facets of consciousness is separation. Help me finish it. So I don't want to be in that state of...
We don't want to be in that state of diktuk, so therefore through drinking, I put myself into that space.
That's right.
Which I was going to say, just to to embellish what Rebbe was sharing, I was thinking about this over Shabbos, that in terms of the context, historical, but the timeline of what we do on Purim, the mitzvah of Suda of Purim, Dafka comes at the end, after Mishloach Manos, we've fully been through this process of aligning ourselves, Be'ezus Hashem, with this mindset and being and giving and shefa, and then we come to the Suda, and then we're involved in this avodah of Adelo Yada, where we're this one time a year, right? We get this mitzvah, which seemingly everyone speaks about, is like, well, how does that work with everything else that we learn? And really, what's taking place is we're creating this reality in which we're able to, in a very, very deep way, right, experience this. Which really, I thought we brought over here. There's so many beautiful explanations of the mitzvah of Adelo Yada. I thought that the Maharal, just to read through it and to see some of his words, the Maharal in Or Chadash, where he speaks about the mitzvah of drinking, right? So the Maharal says, it really just echoes, I think, what Rebbe just shared. The Yom HaKippurim is comparing Yom HaKippurim and Purim. So Yom HaKippurim, Raya Shia Yom Tzom. We know when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, this is a day in which we're involved with fasting. Lefika shekasher misalek ha'odom imenu ha'guf, that when we're involved with the Inuim, right, of Yom Kippur, so what's taking place through that, a person is minimizing their guf, their physicality, and therefore that brings to what our goal is on Yom Kippur, is to bring a sense of tremendous dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ava Yimei HaPurim, when it comes to Purim, hu inyan acher, Ki Hashem Yisparach Hitzil Oysam miHaman. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu saved the Yidin from Haman. Bimei Haman Shehayu Roitzeh L'Chalos Es Yisrael U'La'aved Es Gufam. That during that time, which Haman wanted to destroy the Guf, right? You know, we compare Chanukah and Purim, right? In terms of, was it about the Ruchnis, the Gashmis? Here, Haman, he wanted to Ma'aved, to destroy the Guf. And the only hope that we had that brought that salvation was a Kadosh Baruch Hu Asher Hu Mekayim Ha'adam Mitzad She'enu Nechshav L'Klum Mitzad Atzmoy Rak Yikiyumu Hu Mitzad Hashem Yisparach. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us, right? Not because of who we are, but because of who we're not, right? From the perspective of the fact She'enu Nechshav L'Klum, that we are nothing Mitzad Atzmo, from ourselves. It's not about the Yesh, it's not about the ego, but from the place of the fact that we are just a kilum of the fact from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem wants us to be there. V'lachach chayel levesume b'poraya ad deloyada ben arv haman levarach Mordechai. And therefore we have this chiyuv dafgan purim, right, that a person should, through becoming drunk, bring oneself to a place of loyada. As Rebbe said, right, ben arv haman levarach Mordechai, what's really taking place over here, says the Maral. V'az, when a person gets to that place, ein davar be'adam, if you think about what's taking place when a person gets drunk to that place, it's like he doesn't exist. He doesn't have the kiyum, except for the fact that he exists from HaKadosh Baruch.
And we become a conduit.
Right,
we become a pure conduit. This is what Shlomo HaMelech asked. This is, again, we can go into this in a very deep way. What did Shlomo HaMelech ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can something infinite dwell in the finite? Question that was asked in Tanakh. So it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu answers that the infinite dwells in the finite. The infinite dwells through the finite.
Through the finite.
So we turn off all the rest of the year. We have to be balei das. We have to, you know, we have to develop our das, our consciousness. On this specific, very auspicious day, we switch off our das and we become a pure vessel. Pure vessel. Rabbi Singer would say every single day you have to work towards Purim. You had, by Rabbi Singer, you had to ask a shayla, can I drink or not? Can I drink or not? Because drinking, when you haven't been metaken your midos, when you haven't worked on yourself, and you haven't been sculpturing yourself, drinking could be very dangerous. However, if a person's worked on themselves, and I would ask every year, Rebbe, can I drink? Do I have permission to drink? I'd ask him the question because I've been in touch with him, you know, every week, as you do with a mentor. You're in touch every week. He knows where I am in my growth. And he assesses, yes, you could drink or you could not drink. Because when you drink, you're switching off in order to switch on.
Switching off?
In order to switch on. You're switching on. This is the bittul. This is a state of bittul which you in your conscious mind, it's the closest thing you can get to a world called Atzilus. But, you know, it's the closest thing, if done in the right way, you can get to these highest states. But the Nakuda is, you know, as one of my other teachers would say, going back to Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Shapira, he'd say, in the name of the Piyasetzna, people think they want Dvekus, but really you don't want Dvekus, because once you've attained Dvekus, you don't know that you've got Dvekus, because you don't know that you exist.
You don't know you exist.
So we're always oscillating. We want to want Dvekus.
Right.
But when we come to this day of Purim, it's a day where you become a vessel for Hashem's light, and you switch off, and you do it in the right way. You go through the mitzvahs consciously, cognitively. I'm giving tzedakah, and you do it with a proper kavana, proper intention. When it's matanas le'evyonim, when it's mishlach manos, mishlach manot, I'm doing it with a proper intention. When I'm starting to drink, we have two sudas. Based on our result, we have a suda in the morning. So suda in the morning, I don't drink that much. Suda in the afternoon, we drink. But then you come into the suda in the afternoon, and your whole day has been a day of intention, of recognizing, I don't have to hold on to everything. I can let go. I can allow Hashem cognitively. I can allow Hashem to shine through me, to pulsate this chiyus through me, and I can give. I can give, it's okay. I don't have to be scared. I'm not going to lose out if I give. abundance. Godliness is abundancy. Scarcity is non-godliness. I remind myself of that. So as I work on that throughout the whole day, when I come to the Suda and then I can get drunk, hopefully again, the whole year I've been working for Purim, right, and then the whole of Purim I'm working towards the Suda, when I can come to the Suda and drink, Nechnas Yain Yaitse Sod, that secret of just switching off to switch on.
Wow. Amazing. It's very powerful. And thank you for putting in that perspective in terms of seeing that ultimately we have to understand the mitzvahs within the context of everything which is taking place, and for sharing those avodas, because ultimately, you know, and we'll wrap up with this, you know, once again, it's a big topic, but just to speak about practical ways that we're able to take the Torahs that we've been able to, Baruch Hashem, be exposed to and to discuss and to contemplate together here, is that really the avodah starts now. It starts today as we sit Erev Purim, right? To just do a check-in within ourselves, right? How our relationship is with abundance. Right? How do we, if we're honest, look at where money comes from, where abundance comes from, right? Do we believe that it's generated by us, right? Do we really believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's constantly sending down Shefa, right? Do we believe that there's enough? Have we bought into a scarcity mindset? We believe that there isn't enough? And that always starts with Cheshvan and Nefesh, because as we're going to roll into this very special opportunity, this bracha of Purim, right? We want to first check in and see where we are, right? And then once we see where we are, right, to take the time before Purim to be misbaynei, to do a chazara on the shir, to be able to take some of these marim and kaimais, right, and to really be misbaynei on what's really being said. Like Rabbi said when we read this first marim makom, right, what's Rabbi Nachman really saying? What does it really mean? Right, to be misbaynei on it, right, and to daven over it. And as we prepare for Purim, we go to the mikveh, right, we have our tefillahs before Purim to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, that He should help us, that as we embrace this aura of Purim, that we should be able, right, to be able to connect with this reality. Now, what would you say, I know Rabbi just mentioned it, in short, but what would you say, maybe, perhaps, for you, to could break down the different mitzvahs of the Yoyim, right, just some of the kavanas that we can have in mind?
So,
even just for one of the mitzvahs, to try to break it down in an avodah that we can put
one in kavana, one kavana that we actually have here. This is based on our Rizal, but we have it from the Shla over here. Maseches Megillah in Pirkei Torah Or. So in Tet Vav, the Shla brings this beautiful kavana, which is brought in the Arizal. It could be Shar Psukim. I couldn't remember for sure where the source was, but the Shla, Baruch Hashem, the Shla Kodesh, the Zayda, is a good source. So if you think about the following, it's a beautiful meditation. So when we do mitzvahs, when we are performing mitzvahs, when we are connecting to mitzvahs, so mitzvah means to connect, savata means to connect, it's connection. So we've got the physical aspect, for example, of giving tzedakah. I've got the physical side, my body, my hand, I'm doing something. We're meant to back that up with an internal meditation. We're meant to back that up with an intention. So an intention that the Kabbalists express, and this is something really powerful to practice and to experiment and experience with. Because again, we want, all of us, we want to deepen our experience in the way we perform mitzvot. So if you can imagine the tetragrammaton, you've got the yud, the hey, the vav, and the hey. You've got the letter yud, which is a small, dinky little letter, very lovely little letter. Then you've got the hey. Then you've got the vav, which is a line, and then you've got the next hey. So the Arizal, and it is based on older sources, but the Arizal formulates it in this way, and this is how the Shla brings it. If you imagine the yud, excuse me, the yud is a coin. The yud looks like a matbea. It's a coin. The yud, I'm holding the yud, which looks like a matbea. The hey, as we know in several different texts, it's a numerical value of 5, represents the 5 fingers of the hand. Then the next letter, vav, represents the arm. And then the last hey, which is an aspect of malchus, is the person receiving this matbea. So when we're giving tzedakah, and this is a kavana that I try always to have, when I'm giving tzedakah, I imagine the yud as the coin. So I visualize in my mind yud. The hay is my hand, which is holding the coin. Then I imagine the letter vav, which is extending my hand. And then if I can borrow you, please, this would be the malchus. So I've got the yud, the hay, the vav, and then the hay. And you're receiving this coin. So in the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, I've got there a beautiful intention of sharing the source of all sources, the cause of all causes, Ein Sof, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can share HaKadosh Baruch Hu deeply with me in my experience of giving tzedakah. And especially on the day of Purim, this is something that can enrich our experience, just to slow down, to be present in the moment. And I practice this, it's something you can practice in your mind, it's a meditation you can practice in your mind. I imagine, I think about, I reflect upon, I visualize that I've got the little coin, which is a yud, I've got my hand a hay, extending my hand a vav, and the person receiving the money a hay. Now what we do actually on Purim, there's our chabura, and as you know we daven nates. And after we davenate, there are several people who know this kavana. So we actually do it consciously. We slow down, we get a couple of friends, and then we give. You know, matanas lev yonim, if there's a couple of people who are taking it to give out, make them a shliach. So we actually slow down and we do this. And then for sure, during the day, when somebody comes, you can quickly, rapid fire.
Right. Have the more you do it, the more you become a master of it.
And you experience it for yourself. I know I do it, but it's not about me. I find it an enriching experience. I bring Hashem deeply, the Vekas, into my experience. And this is a beautiful kavana that's brought by the Shla and brought by several other Mekubalim that can enrichen our experience of how we give tzedakah. It's not just a physical experience, it should be emotional. We should emotionalize our experiences, which we've spoken about, hislavus, and for sure we should be thinking about. We should be thinking about, not going into it now, but this is as well, Amalek want to attack us in the Machshava, in the Regesh, and in Maisa. Amalek want to attack us. This is a Torah book from the Slonim Rebbe. Amalek want to attack us in our thinking, in our emotions, and in our physicality. So Bedafka, one of the Slonim Rebbe's, the first Slonim Rebbe, he writes that when you give tzedakah, use your intention, use your emotion, emotionalize what you are doing as you physically do it. And you, mamash, knocking Amalek out the window.
Wow. Amazing, very powerful. Thank you very much for sharing, Rebbe, and thanks for everybody that's joined with us. You know, Be'ezus Hashem, we should all be able to take what we've learned here in the realm of the Torah, in the realm of the concepts, in the realm of the beautiful avodas that we have, and each one of us should really be able to align ourselves the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed, and Hashem wished that we should be able to align ourselves to receive the tremendous shefa and abundance. Once again, we'd just like to thank our sponsors for today's class that enable us to be able to share this transformational Torah with a wider audience. And Baruch Hashem, give us a bracha as you each, in your own way, experience your shefa, right? So please give us the opportunity, right? We are looking for more sponsors of our work, right? To be able to share these Torahs with our wider audience. And Baruch Hashem, each one of us together, right, as we all connect, we'll be able to experience tremendous shefa. Bracha, what's the bracha? The Rebbe always ended.
Shefa, bracha, mazel, and hatzlacha.
There you go. Amen.
Simcha sachaim, yishuva das, archava sadas, and menucha sa nefesh.
Amen, v'amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.